Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Oh, and I'm going to celebrate in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. This is another episode of our daily music podcast, weekdays, I should say. We haven't started weekend edition yet, and I don't know if we ever will, but if somebody wants to, certainly let us know. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode. Today, I am joined by another voice who is going to help me out from time to time, I think. Is that correct, Bill Mulligan?
Yes, I'm here to aid you.
Thank you, sir.
It's the Falls Church crew, folks, from the suburbs of D.C. coming at you, Bill and Patrick. Today, and this is going to be fun, Bill, because we got, I was thinking while we were doing the American Band Madness and also, of course, the NCAA tournaments were going on, that, you know, it might be fun to do a little something after it's all over to help us sort of withdraw from our college basketball immersion that we were doing. And so we came up with the idea of concerts, talking about the concerts you saw in college basketball arenas. And Jim and I have both weighed in, and we heard from Joe Fleischer yesterday, and we've got a number of contributions to this. So I think this is going to be fun, Bill. How did your brackets end up faring in the tournament?
Other than the one individual who apparently started to fill out a bracket and then never finished, I finished last.
Oh, boy.
Not well.
Not well. I don't know if anybody's did. It was one of the strangest years we've had. Some very unusual finalists, although certainly Connecticut has a pedigree, of course, of winning. So, but we're here. We're done with basketball. We're here to talk about concerts. So we are going to start now by hearing from our friend from Wisconsin, Bob Peterson.
Hello, Jim and Patrick, interns and fellow Rock in the Suburbs community. This is Bob Peterson calling to talk about concerts that I've seen in college basketball venues. I grew up in Milwaukee, and the main concert venue back then in the 80s was the Mecca Arena. This is where the Marquette Warriors and the Milwaukee Bucks played their games, and it was a big venue, and it was really nice. But yeah, these were pretty big shows that played there. I saw my first show there in 1982 when I saw Rush with Rory Gallagher, and that was on the Signals tour. In 1983, I saw Robert Plant, Genesis, and Ozzy Osbourne, and I think Motley Crue opened up on that show. In 1984, I saw Yes and Iron Maiden with Twisted Sister. And then in 1985, I saw The Firm with Jimmy Page and Paul Rodgers, and then R.E.M. That was on their Fables tour, and that was my first R.E.M. show. And you can kind of see where my musical tastes were headed. But the most memorable show and the last show I saw at Mecca was in 1987. By this time, I was in college, and I saw the Beastie Boys. I was home on spring break from college, and I was there with a friend from college, and we had just seen the Milwaukee Bucks one night and realized that the Beastie Boys were playing the next day at that venue. We didn't have anything to do, so we decided on a lark just to buy tickets the day of the show, and amazingly, we got front row seats. I don't know how that happened, but we did. The opening acts were Murphy's Law and Fishbone. And when we got there early, we were the only ones in the first three rows. Fishbone was amazing. That was the first time we'd seen them, and they were absolutely energetic and great. And the funny thing was the lead singer, Angela Moore, did a stage dive, and my friend and I were the only ones in the audience to catch him. And we failed. He fell to the floor and crashed into the seats, but amazingly got up and continued to perform. And then the Beastie Boys were great. We weren't really big fans of them, but we enjoyed the show. They had go-go dancers in cages. We got doused by beer, and I came to appreciate them. But that was my memory of the Mecca Auditorium in Milwaukee. I can't wait to hear what other people stories are about college venues, and thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Bob, very, very much for calling in. I appreciate that. Ever been to the Mecca Arena by any chance, Bill?
No, I have not had the pleasure of having been to Milwaukee at all. I've been to Kenosha, but I've never been to Milwaukee.
Marquette, for a while, was a pretty powerful college basketball team, weren't they? Was it the 80s or 70s when they had really good teams?
Yeah, they've done well for themselves.
Yeah, Mark Aguirre, I seem to remember, was a player maybe that went to Marquette. The concept of, and I've seen this in smaller venues, I've never seen it as in a big place like that with a big stage, but I have seen people jump, you know, to stage dive, musicians and sometimes people, and then instead of doing the, you know, the sort of the punk thing that you're supposed to do and catch someone, I've seen people just clear out of the way and get out of the way and see people hit the floor.
That seems like you need a very certain level of intimacy, both in terms of the size of the venue, but also between the act and
yes.
the crowd to know what you're supposed to do in that case.
Somebody just comes flying off the stage. Yeah, you need to have a pretty good understanding whether you're going to catch them. Could be a sweaty performer from being up there under the lights, too. Thank you, Bob. I don't know about that. Ozzy, Robert Plant, Motley Crue opening up, and then you're throwing Genesis in there, really, in the mix? I don't know about that.
That's quite an evening.
It really is. That's going to be a long show, for sure, because Genesis needs a lot of time. They have so many hits. Thank you very much, Bob. We appreciate that. And REM, of course. So an REM sighting, who was champions of our American Band Madness. We needed all that time to figure out REM was our favorite group.
Yeah, I suspect REM is going to be a recurring theme these recountings.
If you don't have an REM show, it doesn't count. So, okay, here we have an email, Bill, from Paul Trapp, our good friend Paul Trapp, who's currently in Utah. And he writes in, "Gentlemen, I spent a year working at a small newspaper in North Carolina, which gave me a chance to see a couple of shows in an unlikely arena for concerts, Cameron Indoor Stadium, home court of the Duke Blue Devils. I saw Bob Dylan for the first time at Cameron, which left me thinking how terrible the acoustics were within, as Dylan was so hard to decipher. Later, of course, I learned that's just how Dylan is live." We also caught The Cure in Cameron at the height of their powers. I thought it lucky to see the band in such a small space as they were headlining Dodger Stadium on the same tour. Back then, smoking was allowed in indoor facilities, and in North Carolina, it was encouraged. That show was watched through a nicotine cloud, adding to the moody ambiance. Patrick, you mentioned shows enjoyed in the Patriot Center on the campus of George Mason University, and Jim did as well. There is a concert at every home game of the basketball season, as George Mason boasts the best pep band and perhaps largest in the country. I had the good fortune of seeing the Patriots at home, and the pep band erupted with a version of Sabotage, speaking of the Beastie Boys, that had me wishing they would play it every single time out. Best wishes from Utah. Eager to hear more concert tales from college courts and beyond. Signed, Paul Trapp. Have you ever seen the Mason Pep Band, Bill?
I've been to several Mason basketball games, but I will admit that these were years ago, and if the band was a big thing then, it didn't actually make a whole lot of impression on me.
I was going to say the same thing. It's been at least a decade or more since I went to a college basketball game at Mason, but yeah, I don't necessarily remember that being memorable, but that would certainly be a great sideline to have a really awesome band playing for your college basketball team, right?
Yeah. Speaking of Mason basketball, the times I saw them, one of my best friends from high school and college, his younger brother played for Mason.
Oh, wow.
So when I would see them, it would be on comped tickets. And after about the fifth time I had seen them play, Brian, the player, the brother, realized that Mason had lost every single game that I had attended. So he said, "You're cut off. No more comp tickets for you."
That's beautiful. No more mulligan, man. He's giving us the Maloach. That's great. Thank you very much, Paul, for writing in. I certainly appreciate that. All right, folks, we got another call here, and I'm going to go over to the tape player, and we're going to hear from Craig Rosen now.
Hey, Rockin' the Suburbs, Jim, Patrick, interns, community, how you doing? This is Craig Rosen out in Porter Ranch. I heard Patrick's call out for submissions to gigs at college basketball gyms or arenas, and I couldn't pass this one up. I often listen to the podcast, and I often want to call in or reply or say something, but usually I never get around to it. I'm just kind of muttering to myself as I listen, as I walk my dog down the street. But anyway, I've got three fairly legendary gigs. Unfortunately, the memories aren't incredible because college basketball arenas or gyms are kind of crappy places to see shows. But other than that, I will mention them because they're good. They're impressive. First, November 2nd, 1980, at the UC Santa Barbara Event Center, which I've since I did a little research, and yes, in fact, the UC Santa Barbara Gauchos play there, who were eliminated from this year's tournament in a rout in the first game. I can't remember who eliminated them, but I did see that. But anyway, what was then called the Campus Event Center now goes by the name the Thunderdome, which is really cool, and I wish I had known that then, or wish it was known by that then. But back in 1980, it was only a year old, and I saw three bands there. The headliner was this trio called The Police. The middle band was another trio known as XTC, and the opener was Oingo Boingo. I was a huge Police fan at the time. I guess it was the Zenyatta Mondatta tour. I may have been sort of transitioning over to like the Clash and the Buzzcocks by then, moving away from the Police, but I still liked them and I still followed them for a while, as long as they were together. The ticket price was only $9.75, which is amazing. I also liked XTC, and I'm pretty sure they played Making Plans for Nigel that night. Couldn't find set lists. Not a huge Oingo Boingo fan. Was never. They're a little too quirky and new wavy for me. Found them a little annoying, but I can't remember seeing them, so it's possible that I missed them, but who knows. But the one thing I do remember about that gig is actually the drive home. We were in two different cars. I was not driving, but my friend Craig Brown, whose family owned Brown's Bakery in North Hollywood, he had a silver 280Z. And I guess, you know, it was kind of late. We were driving back from Santa Barbara to L.A., and Craig fell asleep at the wheel. This is a different Craig, Craig Brown, and he hit the center divider, banged up his car, a little bit, but wasn't seriously injured. And I believe I saw it happen in the other car, but who knows? It was a long time ago. Okay, next gig at the UC San Diego gym in La Jolla, California. Not actually in, well, that's a San Diego suburb. I saw a band called REM in September 28th, 1986. I think by that time I had seen them at least once already in San Diego. Yeah, that was probably the second. Well, I don't know. I have to look it up. But I saw them at a theater in San Diego. And the first time I saw them in San Diego, it was at San Diego State in a very small room. But it wasn't a gym. It was, you know, some sort of student union center on the Murmur Tour. But anyway, I don't actually remember a heck of a lot, except it was a gym and the sound wasn't great, but I've looked up the set list and it was a good show. I think I may have a poor quality cassette recording of that show somewhere. I should look for it. But anyway, looking at the set list, they did Behind Closed Doors, the great Charlie Rich song, which I grew to love after hearing REM do it. I remember hearing it on the radio as a kid and wasn't such a fan, but now I do love that song. Four songs into the set, they whipped that one out, which is pretty cool. And they did Superman, you know, a lot of Murmur. Well, they did The One I Love, and I think this was before, yeah, it was before the release of Document. It was the Pageantry Tour. So, and they also did, in the encore, they did snippets. Stipe did, like, brief would be, I think, maybe a cappella snippets of Finest Work Song in King of Birds at the beginning of the second encore. And the other encore songs were Strange, Iggy's Fun Time, and Just a Touch. So it was probably a pretty cool gig. I'm probably spoiled, but I remember not loving the hall because I saw them at better places, you know, outdoors or wherever. But not a big fan of gym shows. And then I'll move on to the topper. This is the third one. It's possible that I've seen other shows at other college gyms that I don't remember. I do have the box of ticket stubs that I have to go through and someday complete that spreadsheet. But anyway, this other gig was at UCLA's Poly Pavilion, the home of the incredible, mighty UCLA Bruin basketball dynasty. And speaking of dynasties, check out this triple bill. Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, and Van Morrison. March 21st, 1998. And the funny thing, I Googled this, and it's funny that one of the first things that came up on the JoniMitchell.com was a review in Mojo written by my friend, Dave DiMartino, a guy that hired me at Billboard and then hired me again. He didn't learn his mistake the first time and then hired me again at Yahoo Music. Well, actually, it was called Launch, and then it became Yahoo Music. But anyway, unfortunately, I remember being there, and I asked Dave, were we together? You know, did we go together, or did we... if we didn't go together, we sat near each other because we were probably both had press tickets. Looking at the set list, you know, that Poly Pavilion at the time, they may have remodeled it. I was going to look it up. But at the time, it was this, it's just like a cement echo chamber and kind of dingy. Not the best place to see a gig. And my memory may be also clouded by the fact that around that same time, I think it was just like a month before, it was either a month before or a year later, because it was at the Kids' Choice Awards, the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards was held back-to-back years at Poly Pavilion. And one of those years, I took my son Tyler, who was just, you know, 4 years old or so, at four or five at the time. And that had to be the loudest event that I've ever been to in my life. I don't think we had earplugs, so I think we had to like try to like put like napkins or like straw wrappers in her ears to try to like block out the screaming. So that maybe that's why I don't think highly of Poly Pavilion, or maybe it was just kind of dumpy back then. But anyway, looking at the set list, I should have appreciated it more. Of course, three legends. I see in Van Morrison's set, one of his final songs was a cover of Sly and the Family Stone's Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, which was pretty cool. And Joni, I guess she was middle, pretty good set. Wow, did I know she had a song called Harry's House? Is that where Harry Styles took the name for his album title? Probably. And look at this, Slouching Towards Bethlehem. It's like I know some band that has a song Slouching Toward Dulles that I'm quite fond of. But anyway, yeah, and she did Woodstock, Big Yellow Taxi. Dylan started with Absolute Sweet Marie, did, you know, Tangled Up in Blue, Highway 61, for Revisited, Forever Young. According to Dave's review that was in Mojo that I found on the Joni Mitchell site, Bob was playing lead guitar on this show, and Dave singled out the song Silvio, which I don't even know. It's pretty in obscurity, but he mentioned how Bob was ripping it up on that song on guitar. And you don't think as Dylan as, you know, the guitar master, but I guess he is. He's the master of all. Anyway, so there you have it. Three incredible gigs in college gymnasiums. Even though they weren't the best places to see shows, I think they all were sort of legendary. Going back to REM, I didn't. Guadalcanal Diary was the opening act. They were okay, if I remember correctly. But anyway, there you have it. I challenge anyone to come up with three gigs at college gymnasiums that top those three. Pretty legendary. Anyway, enough about me, enough with this. Thank you all. Take care, everyone. This is Craig Rosen signing off. Bye.
There's a lot to unpack there, Bill.
I guess we're lucky that he couldn't remember things very well, or else we'd be here for a couple of days.
He could have his own podcast on college basketball arenas for sure. Now, I will tell everyone that Craig sent a note along with his file that he submitted to rocketsuburbspod.com, and he said, a few corrections from my rant. XTC were a quartet, not a trio. Got it. And the Dylan Joni Van Morrison gig, which I cannot believe was a gig, was May 21st, 1998, not March. And finally, probably worth mentioning that I was in high school at the time of the Police gig, and the older sister of Craig Brown, who was mentioned in my rant, was a student at USCB. She probably got us the tickets, Craig. Okay. Well, first of all, I'm glad nobody was hurt when the guy fell asleep driving on the way home, right? And that's two concerts now where we've heard Bob Dylan as well as R.E.M.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
I don't know when we can fit this in, Bill, but at some point we're going to have you tell the story of the time you had to drive backwards all the way home when you were in high school. And you told me this fantastic story. No, it didn't, but it was still a great story of daring. That's right. we'll have to get you to tell that one sometime, because I quite enjoyed it, hearing it on the way back from Suburb Fest in Chicago.
Craig mentioned the show at San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen it in one in their arena, but I have been to an outdoor concert at San Diego State.
And, oh, really?
Sometime in the summer of 1985, I saw OMD at outdoor arena.
Oh, cool. That's very cool. That's very kind of like Oingo Boingo would fit in with OMD as well, kind of with the synth and everything like that. Yeah, very cool band. I like OMD. Yeah, that's incredible. Van Morrison and Joni Mitchell and Bob Dylan all on the same bill. That's really cool. Wow, cool. Well, thank you so much, Craig. That was beautiful, man. Love that. And it's such an interesting phenomenon to be able to go and look at the set lists from these shows that were so many years ago, and that somebody had written them down or they sourced them from somewhere. So I think that's really interesting. But I want to ask you this, Bill. What is it about this renaming of arenas? Is it always commercial sponsorships that get it done? I mean, from the UC Santa Barbara Arena to the Thunderdome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what sponsor would have been paying to call it Thunderdome, but I know a lot of them. Like, Craig didn't mention the arena at San Diego State, but it's now the Viejas Arena.
Huh.
And the Viejas is a Native American tribe in San Diego County, and they have a casino.
Okay.
So I assume it's the same facility. Maybe they've built a new arena since then.
Yeah.
San Diego State did just get a new football stadium. The old San Diego Stadium, Jack Murphy Stadium, Qualcomm mm-hmm. Stadium, they tore that down, and they built a new football stadium on that site with San Diego State.
Oh, was that right? Interesting.
Primary tenant, yep.
Oh, I didn't know they tore down the Murph. That's too bad.
Yep, just two summers ago, I think. Maybe. Well, who knows with COVID, it could have been 5 years ago. But
right.
That's a legendary sports arena for sure. Craig's point is well made that, they're not designed necessarily for concerts. So that's kind of the underlying thing about this whole exercise here. Okay, we got one more for today, and that's going to wrap up the week for Rockin' in the Suburbs. So we're going to find a call now from our good friend in Louisiana, Kevin Clement.
Hello, Jim, Patrick, faithful interns, and members of the jury. This is Kevin Clement from South Louisiana, chiming in with the basketball arenas of which I have attended concerts. So first we go back. First one would be the Pete Maravich Assembly Center. Of course, back in the 80s, it was just the Assembly Center. I think somewhere in the 90s, early 2000s, they put Pete Maravich's name on there. So, and rightfully so. But like I said, and I've already talked about it before. One I got to see when I was 11 years old, got to see Van Halen live. That was awesome show. And when I got to high school age, I saw three shows there that are very different in some ways. But I saw Def Leppard with Queensryche. And I saw Bon Jovi with Skid Row. Yeah, don't regret that one at all. And the last one is U2 and Bodine's. Now, that one was a really great show. I still remember that one. It was a long one. I do remember that. It was really, really long. Getting home real late. The second one would be the UNO Lakefront Arena. So right about the time, about 89 or so, Pete Maravich, Assembly Center, just quit having concerts. I don't know why. Every now and again they might have one, but very rarely. Actually, there was one that I did attend in 1995, which I had to attend, and this is REM, right near the end of their touring, with Radiohead as the opener. That was a really great concert as well. Now getting back, go to the UNO Lakefront Arena. That's University of New Orleans. They've University of New Orleans have been to the NCAA tournament, talking about basketball. They've been there 5 times. I don't know if they've even won a game, but they've been there 5 times. And LSU, I forgot to mention, LSU is where they play the Pete Maravich Assembly Center, or the PMAC, and they've played 24 times. They've been in the tournament. And they're like 27-27. So they went to the Final Four like 2 or 3 times, I think. So, I mean, not too bad. Getting back to the UNO Lakefront Arena, I said, you know, the BMAC quit having concerts, so they had to go to UNO to go see some good concerts. So in 1989 was the first time that I saw The Cure. And that was a really great show, and I also saw them again in 2016, so I've seen them twice. that they like to start their tour, U.S. tours in New Orleans, I guess, because it's like the goth capital of the United States, I guess. So I guess that, you know, that would make sense. So also have seen 10,000 Maniacs there. That was right near the end of Natalie Merchant's stay in the band. That was 1993. Then I also saw Depeche Mode with Stabbing Westward opening up. That was 1998. And there was one, I couldn't find the date or anything, but I did see this one at the UNO Lakefront Arena. It was Metallica with Tool and Rammstein opening. That was an eye-opening concert. If you've ever seen Rammstein or know about Rammstein, they have a very visual act. it's crazy. And of course, Tool, everybody knows Maynard. He's, you know, crazy man. So that's all the ones I can remember that I went to the UNO Lakefront Arena. But the third one is the Cajun Dome, where the University of Louisiana at Lafayette play. They've been to the tournament 11 times. I don't know if they've ever won a game. They may have won one. I'm not sure. But they've been there. We lost to Tennessee at least twice in the last few years, which sucks. But one concert I did attend there that was really good, this was in the 2000s, was Elton John. He did not have an opening act. He played well over 3 hours, and the first half of the concert was Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. The whole album from beginning to end, and it was awesome. But then near the second half, he started playing, you know, his stuff from like Lion King, and, you know, and then it just kind of got meh. But oh well. So those are my thoughts. I think I've droned on enough. So, alrighty. Well, thank y'all so much for listening, and we'll talk with you later.
Thank you, Kevin, very much for calling in. I appreciate that, man. Kevin is so funny, Bill. He's so deadpan. You know, Metallica, Tool, Rammstein. That was an interesting concert, to say the least. Puts it very mildly. And he certainly has talked about that legendary Van Halen concert, too.
And we did have a reference to REM, so.
Yes, we did. And another Cure. That was cool, because I think Paul Tripp mentioned he saw the Cure at Cameron Indoor Stadium, which is pretty neat, too. Any thoughts on New Orleans being the goth capital of the United States?
Well, I don't know. At first glance or first thought, I wouldn't think of them as being goth, but I don't know. All the Anne Rice and the vampire stuff, maybe there's a connection there.
Yeah, I think it's probably got a strong chance if it's not already. We'll have to do some research into that. We'll get intern Sam on researching whether or not is there a goth capital of the USA. And we'll find out. Well, thanks, everybody, very much for calling in. We've got some more for Monday. And Bill's going to hang out here over the weekend. We're just going to hang out, party. And then we may get Bill to, you've got a story, at least one, right, of a show?
I have a couple of shows.
Okay, great. We'll
keep everybody on edge and waiting in suspense over the weekend to hear Bill's story on Monday. Let's see. Thanks again to Bob Peterson, Craig Rosen, Kevin Clement, and Paul Trapp for calling in. And tomorrow we've got three pieces of correspondence to talk about, as well as Bill. I don't know, Bill, what do you think to play out with? I'm going to put you on the spot. Which of these bands or artists that were mentioned today do you think we should hear something from?
Since this is going out on a Friday, I'd love to hear some Cure.
Let's do it. Love it. Cure it is. And I think this might be a great opportunity for me to make amends, because they did a show about songs with Friday in the title, and I left out a famous Cure song, and I've heard from about eight people now, cumulatively, and Bill was the first one to mention it. So, we'll go out with that Friday Cure song. That's a great idea. If you want to get in touch, you're hearing this on Friday, the deadline is Sunday. So if you still want to get something in, and you want to do just a quick call or just write a quick email and we can read it out, try to get it in to us by the end of the weekend. This will be the last shot. So we have got new music to go into and some other stuff for next week. So and if you want to get in your March new music picks, please try to do that by the end of today if you're listening to this on Friday. Or just early on Saturday if you can, because it takes a little time to get all those rounded up and queued up. So I'd like to have it by Saturday if we could. It is, we've got a pretty good selection already. So we want to get yours in there if you have something for March. And I think that's about it. Our contact information is all on suburbspod.com. Just go there and you can find out everything you need to know, including ways to contact us and all that good stuff. Anything else, Bill, before we sign off for the weekend?
No, I think that covers it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for hosting, and I appreciate it. Always good to have you on. I want to say on behalf of Jim Lenihan, I am Patrick Foster, and with me has been...
Bill Mulligan.
Thank you, sir, and we will talk to you guys next week. I don't
I challenge anyone to come up with three gigs at college gymnasiums that top those three.